Welcome to the Sunday morning service at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, where Pastor Lauren Regeer opens God's Word each week to provide us with biblically based teaching that helps you meet life head on. Thank you for joining us, and may your hearts be blessed as God's Word is taught. And now, here is Pastor Lauren Regeer.
Take your Bibles this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. This indeed, one of the great chapters of the Bible. It's our series on Sunday morning, Proverbs 31. It's great to have many of our guests and family visitors with us today, and we appreciate you being here to support Mom, I know, and it's a blessing to our heart to see you this morning. I know your mother enjoys having you here. Thank you for praying for Melanie Parker. Melanie's here today. Had a little bit of scare with her eyes this past week, just complications of diabetes. Just continue to pray for her and her doctors as they navigate that challenge. But good to see you here, literally, and we're glad to have you in our presence today. Thank God for His protection of your eyes. Continue to pray for her. Things my mother taught me. Now, this isn't a lesson from my own mother, although I could come up with quite a treatise about that. We read here in Proverbs chapter 31. If you're there, I'll read verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. That's really where our title comes from this morning, a wonderful chapter. There are two poems, really, pieces of prose within this one chapter, and it is well known, of course, for the final really treatment of the really a portrait of a godly mother, wife and mother, and that'll be the focus of our attention on this Mother's Day. Shall we pray together? Father, what a blessing it is to know that you have given us in your providence and your wisdom, you've given us mothers who have directed our steps. Not all of us have had the privilege of having Christian mothers, but we're thankful for the good lessons we've learned. And Lord, we have a great debt of gratitude to pay this day and every day. And so I pray that we would remember that and that this day would be a day in a special way in which they are honored. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We're thankful for its fact that it's eternal and grafted, it's perfect, and it's not only inspires us, but it teaches us the heart of God. Today, we want to see your heart in this passage, and so we commend to you the next few minutes together. And Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in our hearts. Thank you for those you've brought together in this place today. We are grateful to open the Word of God together. And Lord, I pray that you would direct our thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Read a few verses beginning in verse 10. If you're there in Proverbs 31, familiar to you, this wonderful book, really. 31 chapters. Often it's used as a kind of a chapter-by-chapter devotional guide for a month or so. Some folks have made it a practice in their life to read a book, a chapter of Proverbs every 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? A great book of wisdom. Here we read in the beginning of verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool, flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. The fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. This is an active lady, right? She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 19, she lays her hand to the spindle, her hands to the hold the distaff. These are instruments of sewing and making clothing, materials. She stretch out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet finery. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. This is a prominent family in the land of Palestine. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth girdles or sashes unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Hope that's happened in your house at least once today, Mom. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, he would remind us, the author here, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a great chapter to end the book of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is really all about relationships. We know that because of the comparison, the parallelism between things that are contrasted in this wonderful book, full of pithy sayings, truths from the heart of God, wise relationships and foolish relationships. Did you know when the premise of your life is the reverence or fear of God? Chapter 1 begins that way in the book of Proverbs. When the premise of your life, the purpose of your life is to fear God, guess what? You will honor God's ways, His word, His will. And conversely, when the purpose of your life is to act like a fool, you're going to suffer hardships. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is tough. It's hard. The book of Proverbs is there really to help us walk right, live right, among those that God has placed us around. Don't complicate things. Keep it simple. The fear of the Lord brings a blessing, and the disrespect of God brings calamity. Evaluate your life right now. Is your life one of blessing or is it one of calamity? It's a good check, isn't it? There are times, of course, when the righteous do suffer and the wicked prosper, but it's only a temporary condition. In the end, the life of the foolish person will be destruction. The Lord says the end of the life of a wise man will be not only eternal life, but a life full of abundance in this world. It's wonderful to know that. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, not death. In thy presence is fullness of joy, not sorrow. And at thy right hand, one day, there will be pleasures forevermore." The promises of God are unblushing rewards. Let me just say it again. Keep it simple. Follow God, love God with all your heart, and good things will flow. Fight God, and fight His principles, and fight His word, and you'll just be struggling with your Maker all your days. God has given us a picture of wisdom. The book of Proverbs can be themed wise living. And it's categorized really around three basic relationship areas: your relationship to God, yourself, and others. And in His wisdom, God has finished or comes to the conclusion of the book, and He hands the paintbrush of inspiration not to a man, although 40 men were used of God to write the Bible through the inspiration of God. He hands the paintbrush, the quill, so to speak, to a woman. And she paints for us a lovely picture of wisdom in reality, in practice, in life. And we end this great book with the picture of a virtuous woman. This is wisdom on display. Heard great testimonies already this morning about the wisdom of Mom and the practical insight she brings. Ladies, how thankful we are that you demonstrate the love of God, the wisdom of God in practical ways in our homes. We have a great debt to you. We owe a great debt to you. These words written by a mother to her son, chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. We don't really know much about this king. It may be that this is another name for Solomon. We're not sure about that. There's a guess about that. And if that's true, who would his mother be? Anybody know who Solomon's mother is? Did I say Samuel? Solomon's mother? Bathsheba, right. Interesting. Fascinating. She says these are the words of King Lemuel, easy for you to say, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I like the things that we learn by repetition from Mom, don't you? I mean, do you have in your brain, stuck in your brain, things that your mother used to say over and over and over again to you? I bet you do. I've written some down. Words of wisdom from mom. This too, son, shall pass. Good reminder. You're grounded for a week. Give me your phone. That wasn't my generation, but mothers today say that, I'm sure. Don't look at me with those eyes. Look at me with your eyes. Change your tone, son. Change your tune. Change your dress. Broccoli is good for you. In fact, all vegetables are good for you. Daughter, all boys have issues. Go to your room. If you can't say something nice, I hear it out there, don't say anything at all. Just you wait till your father gets home. Don't do that with your face. It may stay that way. I don't care who started this fight. You finish it. I brought you into this world, and I can surely take you out. You're grounded, not for a week, for life. On May the 10th, 1910, Governor of West Virginia officially declared the first Mother's Day observance because of a lady named Anna Jarvis, who first decided the church should celebrate motherhood and honor mothers one day out of the year. I'm glad that that custom came to be in our culture. It has really started here in America. It's a joy to honor our dear mothers today. No one word so encapsulates the love of God as the word mom or mother. I would say that there's no more a fit descriptor either of wisdom as that word mother. Oh, mother, someone wrote, when I think of thee, 'tis but a step to Calvary. Thy gentle hand upon my brow is leading me to Jesus. Now, it was my mother that led me to Jesus along the banks of the Amazon River. I wanted her God to be my God, as Ruth said. Early in life, I echoed those words. Thy God, mother, I want to be my God. I was so impressed with the godly life that my mother lived as a missionary wife and woman, that I wanted to know the God she loved. And one night when I was just a little boy, I came into her bedroom, got under the mosquito net and said, Mom and Dad, I need to know the God of my mother. Dad, by the way, loved God too. It was easy for me to love that same God. I love the story of a man who lived during the days of D.L. Moody and George Truett, the late 1800s. Other great preachers alive then as well. The man was a salesman, was unsaved, traveled the country from coast to coast. Finally, he came to know the Lord, and his pastor asked him to share his testimony of faith. I love the story. He said, I've heard many of the great sermons by the finest preachers in the land, but none of them have moved me. But 8 years ago, a little preacher came to my home, and every day she was there when I came home. I watched her in poverty. I watched her in the days when we had more than enough. I watched her to go to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays when the rain and the snow fell. Last night, he said, as I watched her pray for her family by the bed, I got to thinking how different her life was from my life. As she prayed there, kneeling by the bed, I lay there on the bed thinking about my life compared to her life. My life was just a little molehill of nothing compared to her life as a mountain of worth and righteousness and influence. I got out of bed and I knelt beside this little preacher of mine. And for the first time in 8 years, I asked her to take my hand and pray for my soul. And last night he said, I was led to Christ not by D.L. Moody, whom I've heard to preach, but I was led to the Lord by the consecrated life of my wife and the mother of our kids, children. Let's allow this morning the Proverbs 31 woman to minister to our hearts. I trust the lessons we learn from her will guide us, no matter who we are, in the life that God has called us to, life of virtue and praise to the honor of the Lord. Things my mother taught me. First of all, there is a sermon that her life advocates. We We've already read some of these verses, beginning in verse 10 and on through the end of the chapter. This passage really is the second of two instructive passages or poems, really, laced together within chapter 31 of Proverbs. We're focusing right now on this portrait of a godly woman. Again, this poem is to a wise king. It starts off, of course, by "be careful what you put in your mouth and be careful about your associations." It's interesting if this is indeed Solomon, how pointed and practical this is coming from his mother. "It's not for kings," verse 4, "and I would suggest for anyone else to drink strong drink, lest they forget the law and God of the law." And then it gets down to the point of this portrait of a virtuous woman. It starts, who can find this type of woman? Credentials morally. She is a virtuous woman, verse 10. That means she has great credentials morally. She is a woman of great moral character and skill. She is a godly woman. Her price is far above rubies. It doesn't mean necessarily that you cannot find this woman. The question is somewhat rhetorical. It is difficult. She is as rare to find as a ruby might be able to be found among the gemstones. She stands out. She's a cut above. Man, I want to encourage you, if you're looking for this type of woman, you're unmarried, looking for this type of woman, keep up the search, don't give up. They're out there, but they're rare. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've married this type of woman whose price is far above rubies. Many, if not all, hands of those who are married ought to go up. Virtue here is from noble character, capable, godly character. The kind of moral integrity is to be prized and valued above all. She has a passion for God. We have a couple of young men in our family, young boys who are in the process of evaluating different ladies in their lives. And in time, God will give them a wife. We trust and pray. And I encourage them to put this characteristic above all else. Does this gal that you're thinking about, does this young lady who you're interested, and this goes for all young men, unmarried still, does she have a passion for an integrity and a passion for God? Sometimes we kid about missionary dating and this idea that, well, she's not where she ought to be, but when I'm going to date her and kind of try to win her to the Lord and then maybe disciple her along. She has no care for God right now, but maybe in time I'll win her over. Don't do that. In fact, the rule of thumb is when you go to date someone, make sure that that gal has as much of a heart for God as you do or more. May her passion for God even exceed and excel yours. You've probably all heard the silly little joke about the gal who was nervous on her wedding day about remembering all the details. Some of you think you're going to change the one you will marry. That's a foolish notion. It is. Well, this gal was worried about all kinds of things going on in her life. The wedding day came, the details, she was so worried that she remembered, forget. She wouldn't remember, forget everything, her lines, her steps. So the preacher gave her some good advice. As you come in, just keep your focus on your next step down the aisle. Just think of the aisle first. And then when you get up here to the platform where you'll be married and say your vows, just remember the altar. That's important. That's the next point. You get right by the altar, and that's your next step where you stage yourself. All the rest is rather peripheral. Aisle and then altar. And then when you see him, every worry will fade away. When you look into the eyes of your betrothed, he said, remember this, those three things, aisle, altar, him. Aisle, altar, doesn't work, does it? Aisle, altar, no, you won't alter him. And men, you will not necessarily alter her either. God asks us to be on the hunt for those who have a passion for God. Thank you, ladies, for your morality, your virtue. That's so important. It's also a sermon in loyalty. Look at verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And then verse 12, she will do him good and what? Not evil. Part of the days? No. All the days of her life. What a great thought this is. She doesn't have a wandering heart. Her eyes are not playing the field, even as her husband gets older, less physically endearing and attractive, not as charming as the younger models. She doesn't live in her life in a fantasy world of cheap novels or soap operas. She guards her relationship with her man carefully. I'm told even 1 in 5 younger women today, this is not necessarily women within the church, but 1 in 5 younger women were polled recently. They use the internet habitually to view pornography. It's not just a man's allurement anymore or a man's seduction. Even hearts can be drawn away of our ladies, young mothers. The heart can be trusted. This heart is a heart that was trustworthy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She has a loyal commitment to God and to her man. She is not lured away from him in good times or bad, for better or for worse. He can simply and safely trust in her. What a great characteristic. Financially as well, we are told in those days, as in our days I'm sure as well, the men who didn't have banking systems in those days often would have to hide their silver and their gold from wives that they couldn't trust. She was not a thief or out-of-control spender. Her husband mentioned 3 times in our text, verse 11, 23, and 28. Each time there's a mutual regard, respect for the husband and the wife. He trusts her with everything, not just domestic duties, but her business life and his money. What a great thing it is to have a wife that you can trust. She does him good. All, you catch that? All the days of her life. Moms, may I just say something? There's never a place or a time where your husband ought to be the object of your scorn. All the days and all the ways and all the places, there's never a time where roasting your husband is permissible, verbally roasting him, I must say. She does good to him. Are your comments such about your husband, whether he's near you or somewhere else, are your comments about your husband such that those around you, ladies and others, would say, that lady loves her man? It's a great comment and a commentary and a commendation on this particular woman. He just trusts her. We ought to have that mutual regard and respect one for another. Her life, and this is really the bulk of this sermon, it's about a sermon in industry. Hard work. You see the verses mentioned, 12 and beyond, really are all about this gal's work ethic. Her industry, she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Verse 27 reminds us of that. Her life is just a portrait of busyness. Now, there is a barrenness that can come when we're just running in circles, and so we need to guard ourselves against labor that isn't purposeful. But she works, verse 13, willingly with her hands. She's willing to work. Amen? Guys, put that on your non-negotiable list if you're still looking for a life partner. Is she willing to work? And this gal is. So much emphasis is placed on physical attraction today, on the figure of a woman. But boys, verse 30 says that the part of a woman that is beautiful, her face and so forth, that tends over time to lose its luster and glow and attract. Age has a way of doing that. But there is a physical part of her body, her hands. Oh my, she works willingly. So much emphasis is placed in this chapter on her active hands. She works hard. Hardworking hands are beautiful, calloused hands. Ladies, in fact, as we read through this section of Scripture, it's hard not to feel like this is some type of supermom, right? It's hard not to feel a bit guilty. If you're a mom this morning, probably you're worn out just getting the kids ready for church. We had our grandson here, and my, that changes the equation on Sunday morning. It does. Your life has so many components. But her hands are beautiful hands. And there's a A little phrase that John Quincy Adams once said, "All that I am, my dear mother made me." Great, but does that mean that all that I am, my mother did for me? I don't think so. It doesn't mean all that I am, she did for me. She made my bed, made my lunch, made up my grades. It's been in the news recently. Certain Hollywood moms are making up grades for their children so they get in these high-powered colleges. No, we never help our kids by doing their work for them. We never help our kids by cheating or cutting corners in order that they can get ahead. No, that's not this mother. This Proverbs 31 mom is doing everything she can to improve her status, help keep the home a place that's inviting and cared for. She's a ball of fire. The principle here is diligence. Stay-at-home mom, as we read through this, doesn't mean you never leave the house. She's overcoming the worry of poverty and penury in her life by thinking of creative ways to help her husband out. She doesn't just look at him and blame him when he comes home from work. If you could just get a better job, get more money, then our life would be okay. Honey, come on, get with it. Go to college, improve your status. She is helping him by creative ways. She's decided, I'm going to help my husband overcome worry of financial failure by work. And this to-do list is pretty amazing. She is out there shopping and buying. You notice that? Verse 16, she's considering fields. She's seeking wool and flax, all these things. She's sewing, cleaning, and still has time to run some businesses on the side. Wow! What a great example of industry. The King James says she's a girdle merchant. The belt or sash industry was big in those days, and so she would make that on her loom, and she would weave these things together. And not only this, but the lady, bless her heart, is so involved in the community that she's even praised in the gates. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. This is typically a place known as the town council in those days, and the men would gather. This was a place for men to gather, and they would talk about business of the city and the town. They would adjudicate cases there, and yet her name popped up. It usually wasn't so in that culture, male-dominated culture, and yet so famous is her industry, her hard work ethic, that she's known even in the gate where her husband sits. She's praised there. She seeks wool, verse 13, and flax. What does that mean? She brings her food from afar. In those days, it means that there were times when scarce supply, seasonal food sources diminished. And so this lady, this gal, would go as far as it takes to bring home food for her family. She would do that. She would go wherever it takes. It doesn't mean she went all the way to Locust Grove to get some takeout for her husband. That doesn't what it means here. It means that she was out there enterprising. Verse 14, her husband gives her a great compliment. She says, "You are like a merchant ship to me." How many husbands have said that recently to you? "You're so impressive. You are like a merchant ship to me." Thank you, honey. That's so romantic. This compliment means you are a conscientious shopper, and like the ships that bring in unique and unusual items from Egypt and from Greece, you are looking for ways to make our home beautiful, our diet creative. You do all you can to make home a place that's inviting, a place we want to come to. You've got it decorated and furnished nicely. You do your best to have creative meals. It's not just hot dogs and macaroni every time. Although the kids would say amen, they're bring it on. That's what life is made of, hot dogs and macaroni. She is doing her part to make life exciting and the home inviting. Hard work demands using your talents and honing them to productivity. Verses 22 and 24, she's making fine linens, coverings of tapestry, silk and purple. These were the finer of the materials of the day. She's involved in the trade of making and delivering clothing to merchants to sell in the marketplace. She is always looking for ways to improve her standing and her status, and you can't help but noticing she is a lady of great industry. I thank God for that. She's not settled for. She's not a gossip. She's not lazy. And this gives the home a sense of financial security. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of the coming. She's prepared, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She has enough not only to provide for her house, verse 15, for the hired servants in her home, but this lady has enough for the poor and the needy. You notice verse 20? What does it say? She has enough to give to the poor and to the needy. You might be looking at me as a mom this morning and say, wow, how in the world can we do all this? We came to church hoping we'd get all these praises, but now you're putting this guilt trip. How in the world are we going to do all this? Do what you can. Not every woman is gifted in these ways. Maybe you can't sew. There are things you can do to prove that you want your family to have the best. And she is simply a gal that's busy. She's keeping things going. She's tending many fires. And how thankful we are, ladies, I want to say this, for your hard work. My little Sunday school class this morning, we run around talking about our mothers for a minute. And do you know, the thing that came up the most was the fact that our moms were hardworking. It seems almost that's the second descriptor of a mom, right? So many things you do. And this morning, I want to say thank you for all the things you do well. This lady was excited to teach her children how to work hard. My wife talks about her mother, Mary, and it's so true. When I visited their home, I was hoping to sit in the parlor. They didn't even have a parlor. I was hoping to sit on the porch swing with Robin, who I was courting at the time, where we could talk about sweet nothings. But they, instead, when I arrived at their house, said, come on, get on this tractor. I don't know if I could drive. Get on the tractor. You're going to help us. We're going to clean fence. I think that's not romantic at all. We're going to go out and clean up the barn. Okay, we're going to bale hay. Oh, really? I got so where I'd rather not go to Robin's house. Your parents work too hard. They just don't slow down. If you've had a farm, you know you can't. You can't. What a great treasure that is, really, to learn how to work hard. So her sermon advocates a life of busyness, of industry. Another thing, and this is where we move now to the one verse. There's one verse in this chapter that speaks about her words, the sermon her mouth communicates. Look at verse 26 with me. In your Bible, chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 26, she opens her mouth after all these things she has done, the life she's lived in front of her children, her husband. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Just this verse about what she says. My son, Proverbs 1:8, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Moms, did you know that you are lawgivers? You are entitled by God to make up house rules, to make the rules for your home, and to discipline and to set down the laws of behavior in your house. I just told earlier our class that our last two or three days of Callan, our only grandson, our only grandchild, has been one in which I've said no more than I have in probably 3 months combined, because the little guys come in, right? And though you love them as your grandchildren, you're reminded how many times you set down the law. You can't touch that outlet. You can't have that food. You can't swallow that. You can't play with that. No. It seems like, moms, that's your job. You walk around saying no for the first how many years of their life. You can't. No, this is the law of your mother. You can't use that blue soap that's on the toilet back there, that's perched back there, because it matches the wallpaper. It brings the blue out of the wallpaper. Don't use that. It's decoration. Don't eat that. Don't go. Come in here. Don't wear that. If you wear that, it will be your last day to live. The law of the mother. But here's what's wonderful about mom. When she lays down the law, do you know that she loves you or not? You know that she does because of her life that precedes that. She comes to you often before she even corrects you, and she holds you first. This God-given innate ability that mothers have to hold and nurture their child in a way that we as dads just can't do. God has given the Spirit the mother just of a wonderful, warm embrace. The child often comes running. Does the child, she or he, run to you, Dad, first? Well, maybe sometimes when Mom is not available. But if he has to choose between Mom and Dad, the little child, when injured, or when someone says something bad about them in school, they had a rough day, they run where? They run to Mom. And Mom, for some reason, has a way to warm them simply without a word of instruction or a word of advice. For a few minutes, it's just Mom time. And that little child is covered up, the tears are flowing, and Mom has this medicinal kiss. Let me kiss that boo-boo, whatever it is. Let me kiss that little scraped knee. And for some reason, was it like this with your mother? I don't know. It's a magical thing. You can be bleeding, perhaps need stitches, but your mom comes first with that kiss and seems like it heals it. And there is that spirit which you know comes from your mother that is simply this embrace, this hug. And God likens his own spirit and character to this. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." Have you ever come to the Lord recently? Have you come to the Lord with your heart full of sin, stabbing pain of disappointments, personally or otherwise? Have you come to Him and you find Him silent except for this? He's opening His arms to you. You come into His presence and your heart is full of woe. And you've been scraped up by life and skinned up by life, and perhaps you've been overwhelmed or overtaken in a fault or a sin, a trespass, and you come to the arms of the One who not only is our Father God. Now be careful, I'm not saying God is, there's a trend today to make God gender neutral. No, God is always characterized by the masculine gender. He is our Father, but do you know He has a mother-like instinct when you come to Him? That's what Isaiah 66 says. And He comes to you, and you come to Him, and there's this wonderful time. Sometimes God doesn't give us all the answers. He doesn't. But in His warm embrace, because as a child, He cares for you and nourishes you as a mother would nourish her own child. And God often in my life has just embraced me. And when I leave that moment with God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I'll tell you what, there's that sense that God is in my corner. God still loves me. There's nothing that can separate me from my Father's love, who loves me with a mother's heart. A mother-like characteristic. Moms, thank you. We cannot do that for our children, but you can. And you're so much like God when you do that. That simple, not first of all, just beating the kid on the head. I can't believe you did. That's what Dad say. Didn't I train you any better? What's wrong with you? None of your brothers and sisters act. No, God doesn't say that. He brings us into this sense of, I love you. We're going to get through this. Yes, if there's some confessing to do, we'll get to that. But I want you to know that nothing can separate you from. That's the mom, isn't it? I say this carefully. That's the mother nature of God, where He loves us in spite of us. There's a sermon her life advocates. There is the sermon her mouth communicates. And then finally, there is this sermon that her family celebrates. And that's again at the end of this chapter. And what a great reminder this is to us on Mother's Day. You ready for this? Here we go. Strength and honor are her clothing. Would you please tell your mother today, whether she's here or not, whether she's in this building or somewhere, pick up the phone. I guess dial the number for your mother. It's on speed dial, right? It's a favorite number of yours, I hope. And just tell her how beautiful the clothes are that she's wearing. And not the beautiful attire, the material she's wearing, but just the things that have adorned her all her life. You have been surrounding yourself with moral strength and character and honor. And when you open your mouth, Mom, it's been wise words and kind words. Thank you for looking well to us as we grew up in your home. Thank you for your example and worth, your example in work, your example in your words. Her children, 28, here it is. Rise up! Teenagers, may I just say this? If you have risen up in anger and said words to your mother that ought not be said, please ask her forgiveness for that. She lives for your advancement. It is her joy to see her children grow in truth. She is not perfect, but she is about your maturity. And that's why she does what her children finally wake up and they rise up. And they say, Mom, of all people in the world, of all mothers in the world, if I could choose one, it would be you because of your investment in me and how much you love me. And I want you to know how much you are a blessing to me. Your mother longs for that. Husbands, your wives long to hear that. What a blessing you are to our family and to our home and to my life. I couldn't do it without you. Rise up, sons, rise up, daughters, rise up, husbands, and cheer for her great worth. Mother's Day is not on the Hebrew calendar. The Bible doesn't say the second Sunday in May, remember your mother. We are to live a life full of appreciation. Shame on us if we have no kind words for Mom today and every day. Her great worth is far above rubies. Her life works, heptalis, virtue, loyalty, industry. Her kind words have taught us to be sensitive, compassionate, and wise. Many daughters there are that have done virtuously, but you, Mom, are the greatest of all. We're thankful today for you. Every sermon we preach is really about Jesus Christ. If there's anything good in us, it's because His goodness is shining through us. But Mother, thank you for allowing Christ's life to be evidenced in your, what a portrait you are of Jesus Christ. Thank you, mothers, grandmothers, for your part, a vital part in our lives. Keep it up. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, it is a joy to just come now quietly at the end of this time together and say thank you again for the human influence of godly mothers. And Lord, I pray that we would be grateful today and every day for this great grace bestowed upon us.
Thank you for joining us today. Please tune in each week for new messages from Pastor Lauren Regeer at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you.